Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to a beautiful podcast. I'm your host, Spring Developer Advocate Josh Long, and this show is all about the real heroes behind Spring and its ecosystem.
Hi, Spring fans. How's it going? Today's episode is a very special episode. I recorded this one in September of 2018. It's an interview with Dror Weiss and Aaron Yahav, both of Codota. And Codota is a best kept secret in Silicon, not even Silicon Valley. I mean, they're actually, I think, in Israel. And they're a small company with big ideas and very interesting company to boot. I was first introduced to them thanks to my friend James Waters, who said that I should pay attention if I really cared, as I purport to, about developer productivity. If I, the Spring guy, really want to see people succeed, I should care about this particular thing. And James extolled the virtues of artificial intelligence-based code completion. Basically, this is what this company does. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little suspicious, a little leery, a little hesitant, a little reluctant. Okay, just a little bit. But James was right, first of all, as he always is, and they're awesome. So he put me in touch with him, and then we scheduled a meeting, and I was, it's not exactly easy for me to get on a phone call with people in different time zones, but I do it because I care, friends. I do it because I care about the podcast, and I want to learn as much as possible. And if James is going to set me up with a free knowledge, then darn it, I wanted to take it. This was actually a very interesting discussion that ended up going a lot longer into the night than I fully expected it would. And that resulted in many subsequent sort of iterative discussions wherein the team working on Codota, working on this amazing cloud brain for your code, basically, came back to me seemingly every month or so with incredible leaps and bounds in the technology that they were developing, right? This thing got smarter and smarter. And originally it was just trained on generic Java code. Just any old code base, things with which a first-year student in Java might be familiar, but things that, if you're a Spring developer, aren't your day-to-day sort of thing. And so I wanted to see it applied more readily to the context of Spring applications. And I was really impressed when the team was able to sort of deliver on that. They've done, leaps. The product has grown leaps and bounds over the time that I've had the pleasure and privilege of working with them. It was really exciting to be able to then have this discussion with him. We recorded this interview, by the way, for those of you who don't know, we recorded this interview and only after we had hung up this, recording this interview for this podcast, only after we hung up did we sort of have a brief back and forth. And realized that they were, for reasons I don't remember, in San Francisco, where I happen to be. That's where I live, in theory. And so we got together and we had tea or coffee and a meal very shortly thereafter, right after this was recorded. So I'm a big fan of the team. I'm a big fan of the technology, and it was really exciting to be able to get to talk to them on this podcast. And I think this is kind of an interesting plugin. You should try it. It's available for IntelliJ and it's being developed and introduced into new IDE and into new IDE environments. And we talk about that here in the podcast as well. It's just one of those things where it can make Spring even more productive, right? The API Java is at some point the gate through which your productivity gets funneled. This kind of tooling, this kind of smart tooling, is, I think, the logical next step, right? We can all agree that IntelliSense and Visual Studio IntelliSense was a novel, revolutionary sort of thing. And we can all agree that things like IntelliJ and the smart tips and all these kinds of things that IntelliJ can do to make your every keystroke that much more expressive and that much more effective and that much more intentional. Those things that tools can give us, they've taken us as far as anybody could have hoped they would take us. But I think things like this, things like Codota, represent the next step. And I'm really keen on seeing it, its uptake sort of grow. All right. So with that, let's get to the interview. All right. Today we are joined by Dor Weiss, CEO of Codota, a company based out of Tel Aviv in Israel. Is that about right there, my friend, Mr. Weiss?
Yes, that's accurate. We're based in Tel Aviv in Israel.
Very cool. Thanks for joining me today. I know you're all very busy, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks for hosting me.
Wow. So you and I, I've had the privilege of working with you and your team for it's got to be several months now. I mean, half a year that we've been going back and forth, and I've been watching your company, which is Codota. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
I've been watching your company do really amazing things. Can you tell us, first of all, what you do and what the company you are doing, that you work at, is doing as well?
Yeah, true. So I'm the CEO and one of the founders of Codota. And Codota is all about better leveraging existing code and existing software to help developers create new software better and faster. So essentially, we're a machine learning or artificial intelligence backend that analyzes and reads corpuses of code from public sources like GitHub, Stack Overflow, and the likes, and also private code codebases of our customers. And we crunch and analyze the code and build models to reflect how software is written and how software should be written. And then we integrate in the developer's natural workflow in the IDE to provide proposals, to provide contextual proposals as they write code, and basically to complete them, to alert them if they do something wrong, and in general to make their life better and their job easier.
Wow. That sounds, it's a little hard I've seen it, so I can understand what you're saying. I understand that what you're talking about here is actually concretely, just very, very intelligent autocomplete at the simplest level. And then at the highest level, you even have there's all sorts of interesting things that you can do. But what I think is kind of interesting for people who haven't seen this before is just the idea that it's possible. I remember the first time you showed this to me, you basically suggested you had, you know, the collective learnings of however many GitHub repositories and Git repositories and code repositories on the internet guiding every keystroke, right? Every character was feeding back into this engine, this model that would then turn into input that could help advance the next line of code. And it's pretty amazing to think that that's even possible today, I think, for a lot of people, that we have that fast feedback. But I've seen it. How does that work? I mean, how do you, without disclosing the secret sauce or anything, would you have been able to do something like this, let's say 10 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah, 10 years ago, definitely not. Codota has been basically technically feasible due to relatively recent advancements, both in the availability of code to learn from. 10 years ago, there wasn't, GitHub was just starting out. And if you were to have a machine train on software for a massive corpus of code, you'd have a very hard time to find enough code to train on. Secondly, in the last decade or so, there have been a massive improvement in our ability, in our algorithmic ability, both to do good program analysis that's required to really learn from the code itself. Codota doesn't learn from the text or the source code. Codota learns from from the underlying semantics of the code, and to do a good a semantic analysis that's required for us to learn that on that scale. That's also part of the recent developments and improvement in program analysis. And I think lastly, the availability or the advent of the compute clouds made this made it available to feasibly, you know, spin out enough enough machines and, you know, cost effectively to be able to crunch all that amount of code and, you know, come up with the learnings of how software is built. So in short, the answer is 5 years ago or 10 years ago, Codota couldn't have existed.
And even today, it seems like a magic trick to me. It seems like a magic trick. How, what kind of path did you take that you decided to solve this problem, or that, more importantly, you had the incredible skill to solve this problem?
So, Codota, yeah. So, first of all, I'm not the CTO. The CTO of Codota is the, I would say, the mastermind behind, you know, behind the magic. And Codota, our CTO is Professor Ran Yahav. Of Technion, and Codota started in his academic research on that area. So he's the mastermind of the solution. Now you're asking basically what makes it possible to solve this.
Or why? What, basically, when did you wake up and say this needs to be a thing that people use? We need to solve this problem.
Yeah.
So, what was the motivation?
Yeah. So I've been a software developer for 20 years now, and even you know, being a fairly experienced developer, I noticed that every time I need to write something new, and luckily for me, I all the time did new things with code. I have to spend dozens of time per day looking up solutions, either in existing code of my company, or when using public open source libraries, I went to Google dozens of times per day in Stack Overflow and spent a great deal of time trying to figure out the right solution and the up and the up-to-date solution, because, you know, what the things that were the best practice 2 years ago are often not the best practice today, and often even not doable today with the current versions of the library. So that was a big problem again that I thought it's unsolvable basically. But then, a few years ago, I reconnected with my long-time colleague Ran Yahav, and he tells me, "Look, I have a prototype that we could work on to make. I know how APIs are used. I can analyze a corpus of code and give you the patterns of how to use of how every API is used." And it was an academic work. It presented all sorts of automata and flowcharts, but immediately I said, yeah, we must do it. We must make a company out of it, and we can impact the life of so many developers. And since that time, there was lots and lots of sweat and hard work for both of us. And yeah, we're starting with Java, which is obviously a very popular language and very big community. And it has some attributes that make made the time to market for Java faster, made it a really good start, but we're going to do it for to basically implement Kudota for all the popular languages. Our customers ask us to help them with JavaScript, and they ask us to help them with Python and C Sharp and all the major popular languages. So that's the plan, to basically replicate what we did, what we're doing for Java to all popular languages.
That's very interesting. I think that would actually help people become more proficient in other languages. I've noticed that one of the things that helped people with Java in the very beginning was that the IDEs, the tooling, has been pretty good for the longest of times, right? It's been very good for more than a decade. You could open up a new project, add a library, and then get auto completion and get some idea of how to explore the API. You still had to do that exploration. There was still learning to be done, but you could control mm-hmm. space your way through an API and learn about it as you're coding. Whereas with some languages, there just hasn't been very good IDE support. So Ruby, for example, is one that for a lot of people, they still use a text editor, right? There and sort of it becomes useful to find frameworks that hide as much as possible so that you don't have to know all these other APIs. So Rails, of course, is this very common example where you're using Rails and it's very, very, it isolates you from a lot of the rest of the world because it's hard to sort of create a world, a mental model of that world with that language. If I had a tool that first of all supported smart completion, and then I had a secondary, if I had a tool like Kudota that gave me the whole recipe, you know, not just what's possible for a given object, but actually how it's used, I think people would be far more brave about learning new languages if they felt like, okay, well, I don't know much about this other language, but I know that I've got the wisdom of the crowd, you know, behind me as I type. Well, that would be, I think, very comforting.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's correct. I think more than you basically described two levels. First of all, is the basic level to know what exists in the API, and that's truth we told. It's missing in many of the tooling of many languages. And for Java, yes. For Java, it has been very good thanks to the good IDEs that we have. But for
Eclipse and IntelliJ and so on.
For Java, the tooling has been really, really instrumental, I think, in making this language so vastly popular. But yeah, and we see Kudota as a natural extension to that. Okay, so the IDE tells me what I could do, but Kudota tells me sort of the high level of what people do in practice, and how to combine all the things that you could theoretically do into recipes, into things that people do in practice. Yeah, and I think it will make learning much faster. Learning of new languages and also new libraries, new APIs, because we view the language as sort of an infrastructure platform, and we view the real language as the API, the library. I mean, the language, the programming language itself is like almost like the electricity. Yes, you need it. It enables everything to happen. But no, that's not. Your real vocabulary is not the language. Your real vocabulary is the API, and we think that people not just need to learn new languages, but also within the same languages to learn new frameworks and new libraries, new APIs. That's the real. That's a real challenge we're looking to solve.
Wow, that's very well put. Yeah, the vocabulary is the API. That's interesting. And that full disclosure, folks, I I am using Codota because you've been nice enough, haven't you, to let me play with it sometimes with early pre-release editions, and I appreciate that. I have used it successfully to learn APIs that I wouldn't otherwise play with. So I noticed that it was pretty good at like Swing, for example, like these APIs that are in Java, like core Java libraries. And now I noticed it's gotten smarter about a lot of libraries, a lot of common libraries that people use. And it's just made it very easy to sort of like start trying stuff out, you know? The technology itself, in a day-to-day experience, that's, I think, is it fair to say that right now the way people will consume that is from an IDE, or is there, what's the normal way that people work with it?
We eventually want to be with the developer whenever they work with code, whenever they read or write code. That means the IDE. That eventually also means the web browser when they read code. We also have an extension for Chrome. It helps reading Java. It makes reading Java code a lot easier because we analyze the code on the fly and can, you know, highlight, make the code browsing experience very similar to the IDE. So we know. We can map the variables, we can map the method calls, give you pulling the method documentation. So you should try it. It works on Stack Overflow, GitHub, and the likes. But for now, the main touch point with the developers is the IDE. And for now, we support the IntelliJ IDE, but we plan to extend Codota to all popular IDEs that's out there.
Oh, very cool. Maybe Eclipse and
definitely.
String Tool Suite and so on.
Yeah, we had a lot of pull for users who want Codota on Eclipse. Also, NetBeans, actually. We get a lot of pull about from users who want it on NetBeans, and there's also the relatively new VS Code editor that we look to address as well.
Nice. Oh, wonderful! VS Code is hot sauce, and our tools support for Spring Tool Suite and Spring Tool Suite 4. We've extracted that out into language servers specifically so that we could allow people to use it from VS Code and from Atom and the like.
That's great to know.
So it'd be very interesting. Developers could use your... So do you have a language server? Is that what you're doing, a language server for Codota?
So we don't have a language server. We use the language server. So, to be more technically precise, right now we do our own proprietary analysis of the code. Mm-hmm. We roll our own technology stack for the code, but you can think about it. It has a lot of similarities with language server.
Well, that's very interesting. But I mean, with respect to code, I could be mistaken, but I understood that the normal way to integrate with VS Code was as a language server. And then if you've done that, then that would also be something you could make work in the Spring Tool Suite, because that's what we're doing. So you could actually get Eclipse. Spring Tool Suite is based on Eclipse. It's our Eclipse distribution.
Okay.
So you can get two audiences for one, almost.
That's useful to know. We haven't yet gone very deep with the...
Well, still, very cool. So the that's one thing, the analysis of the code, the ability to give fast feedback to kind of shine a light on possible paths forward with the current objects in context and so on, with the current variables and so on. That's one thing. The other is that you have this really great position. You understand in your system, in your model, what is a common thing to do, and you are hoping to be centrally positioned in these code bases. That seems like it'd be a good opportunity to feedback, basically, to help enforce certain policy. Is that possible?
So Codata learns learns from code, and it could also enforce that you use best practice. It's not yet part of the official plugin that's released, the enforcement, but that will come out pretty soon. And we're I would say, unlike some other approaches, we're there for the developers. And when we think that something is suspicious or incorrect, we'd rather give feedback as early as possible. We don't want to wait for the commit. We don't want to wait for the code review, and we want to give the developer basically the immediate feedback. But listen, what you're doing, it might be correct. It might be that you're trying to achieve something that's a little different than what our common model knows, but we just want the developer to know that, you know, our models predict differently. So we're going to give things that are more alerts or for information, rather than saying that's an error. So we're trying to be there always for the developers. So maybe enforcement isn't the exact phrase of what we do, but we want to give, I would say, early alert or make the developer aware that what they do isn't exactly what a model found as the best practice.
That's amazing. Oh, wow. So that opens up a lot of possibilities. You can do some really amazing things in that position, right? That's very interesting. So where do people who want to know more, where do people go, for example?
Know more about the...
all these products, and if they want to be able to get these features as they come out, you have been very nice in sharing all these very interesting new features. And it seems like every day there's a new feature, and we have a new meeting to talk about the new stuff. Where do other people go?
To go and learn about Codata, obviously there's our website, Codata.com. And if for developers who install our plugin for IntelliJ, click from our website. It gets updates every week or two. We add some new features. Actually, we have been pretty bad at using Twitter, but for people who are interested, we do intend to post updates about the product and the new things we're doing at our Twitter accounts. It's Codata _. Unfortunately, Codata was for some reason occupied when we tried to claim it, and so these are the and there's the Facebook there's a Facebook page, Codata AI for Code, I think it's called.
You know, I think you can petition Twitter to have an account that's not being used, basically given to you.
Yeah, okay.
If you have a claim to it, I'm pretty sure that's possible.
Yeah, I tried. I think I tried to do that. Yeah, but definitely we'll. We'll look at that. We want Codota.
Well, yeah, you're a busy startup, so I know you have a lot of things to tackle all at once. I'm not trying to add more work, but very good. That's very cool. And what about you, Dror? Is there anything they can follow on Twitter to find out more about you?
To the extent that I post, my Twitter handle is Drorwe. That's Drorwe.
Ah, wonderful. Okay, that's very cool. Is there anything else you want to make sure the audience hears or knows about before we kind of wrap it up?
I think that's maybe a bit corny, but you know, the reason why we chose to address this problem in Codota, because I think you guys that are, I assume your audience is mostly software developers, and I think that this area of building software is really probably one of the most exciting and important things we can do at our time. And we feel that, you know, you guys who are building the code, building the software, really shaping up how the future is looking like. And we're honored and privileged in serving this community, because we feel even if we're just a very small part, but in building this, the future of economy, the future of how software is made, that we're very honored and privileged to be a part of that. So,
well, we're glad to have you. I mean, obviously, I know that cloud legend James Waters is a big fan, and he put it to me thusly. He said, Codota are trying to build something that makes people even more productive. And that that appeals to me and to anybody who's trying to get software into production faster, you know, better software faster. So obviously the feeling is mutual. Thanks so much for being part of that amazing community.
Thanks for having me. I'm really honored to talk with you.
Right on. All right. With that, thanks so much for hanging out, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Podcast is produced by me, Josh Long. I do these podcasts because I believe that everything we do in software is for and made better by people. So I want to hear from you. I'm Josh at joshlong.com by email, or at starvuxman on Twitter, where of course my direct messages are wide open. Do you have any guest ideas, topic suggestions, feedback, etc.? Please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Or indeed, you can ping me at Bootiful Podcast on Twitter. So at BOOTIFUL Podcast on Twitter. If you like the show, if you like the podcast, please rate it accordingly on iTunes or wherever you download your podcast, because that, of course, helps the circulation of the show. It helps the show get better, find a wider berth, and so on. I sampled music from Steve Combs's Theme from A Morning in Springtime and Steve Combs' Small Victory, both of which are licensed under a Creative Commons license. No harm came to any seasons in the making of this podcast.